It's kind of a little bit of a unique world we live in right now. And I do want to say that, you know, we wrapped up our Haggai series last week. And a big thanks to Brendan, who's here. He's back from our Howard Payne students are trickling back in. And so make sure you tell Brendan how much you enjoyed his 2 weeks ago, wherever he is. He's here. There he is. He's right over there. And yep. But today we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 17. But before we get into that, I want to do what we've been doing. I am thinking back to 5 months ago, when we have a whole team in Honduras, and we literally, 11 and a half hours after we flew out of the country, they closed the country because of coronavirus. And we came back to a world that I still don't recognize. And it is so weird, and it is so crazy, and it is so insane. So like we've done during this whole crazy time, we have a couple of memes we want to share with you just to try and capture this day. And this first one is, it's kind of funny. It's not bad. It's if 2020 was a math problem. So here it is. If you're going down a river at 2 miles per hour and your canoe loses a wheel, how much pancake mix would you need to reshingle your roof? So there you go. That is the perfect way to describe 2020, isn't it? I called it 2012 a minute ago, didn't I? Did I not? I don't know. 2020, it's a perfect way to describe that one. And one more meme we have to share today, and it says this. Scientists have found one dog year does not equal 7 human years. In fact, the only thing that equals 7 human years is 2020. Oh my goodness, y'all, that is so true. That is so much the case. But we're going to spend a couple of weeks in Jeremiah chapter 17, and it was one of these things that, you know, we have another series beginning on Titus here in a couple of weeks, and this morning I was trying I have three different sermons I was trying to choose between this morning that are written and ready to go, and I felt like God was going, Jeremiah 17, you need to go there. So I went, okay, perfect, and I pulled out my notes. It was about 7 o'clock this morning, and I started looking over my notes and the sermon that I'd written, and I went, God, this is just too big to do in 1 week, and God goes, we'll do it in two. I went, okay, so here's what you're going to get. Instead of one long, epic sermon, you're going to get half of a long sermon today, and you'll have another long sermon next week wrapping up all of this, so just be ready as we kind of deal with all that. But here, I love this picture. Is anybody else's yard beginning to look a little bad with these 100-degree temperatures we've had? Yeah, it's looking pretty rough, isn't it? I love the idea of this, and we're going to be looking at what Jeremiah 17 says, but it has this connotation, this capture of all of this. The area to the southwest of the Sea of Galilee is dry. It is a rocky place. It is dusty. It is, you want to be masked just to cover all the dust that's going on. You know, you don't want to fight coronavirus. You just want to not ingest all that dust that's there. It's a pretty rough place. Vegetation isn't real common. Farmers have to irrigate. That's the only way they can water their crops. There's very little or no grass at all. The trees are short, and they're kind of like shrubs. They're not real tall in the middle of all that. But smack dab in the middle of that is one of the most beautiful places on the earth. It's actually called Gan Hashlosha. That literally means Park of the Three. There are three kind of waterfalls. I mean, there are three pools, and there's little waterfalls that goes in between them. It is one of the most beautiful places that you have ever seen, and it's smack dab in the middle of the desert. I have a picture I want to show you of this. Look at this. Oh, some of you are going, I'd like to go there right now. That's right. Let's plan a road trip, right? Let's go pile in the new church van, and we'll go jump, and we'll do that, right? There's another picture where you can kind of see some of the desert in the background. You see the hills there. But notice how rocky it even is right here. And you can kind of see that waterfall. There's a spring that's there. There are these underground springs that are refreshing this. It's just this great place for swimming, for diving. There's flowers and there's bushes and there's giant palm trees. Actually, this water, it's naturally heated. It is 83-degree water year-round. As if it didn't get any better just looking at that. Imagine just swimming constantly year-round in 83-degree water. Oh, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to do that now. But here's the thing. This is in the middle of the desert. You see the big rocks on both sides of the water here. But notice how big the trees are in this area. Why? Because they're being watered by the spring. They're being watered by this little stream that's right there. The Psalms 1, the very first Psalm, verse 3 actually says this. It says, he is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And I don't know if Jeremiah knew the guy who wrote this Psalm. I'm not sure who wrote this Psalm. But I don't know if Jeremiah knew him, but Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1, you're going to see some same characteristics here. They both talk about the one who trusts God is like a well-watered tree. You saw that we're calling this little two-week sermon series Like a Tree, because this is the idea we're looking at. We're looking at this imagery from Jeremiah that says it's someone who trusts in God is like a well-watered tree. So let's read this. Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5, here's what it says. It says, this is what the Lord says, cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. He makes human flesh his strength, and his heart turns from the Lord. He will be like a juniper in the Arabah, who cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is in the Lord, is blessed. He'll be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. The heart is more deceitful than anything else, and incurable. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. He who makes a fortune unjustly is like a partridge that hatches eggs it didn't lay. In the middle of his life, his riches will abandon him, so in the end he will be a fool. A glorious throne on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, the hope of Israel, all who abandon you will be put to shame. All who turn away from me will be written in the dirt, for they have abandoned the Lord, the fountain of living water. You notice Jeremiah is going to, he's been talking, he's been giving a word from God. Now he's going to turn and do his own words. Notice there's a shift in perspective here. Now it's first person, and notice what he says. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. Hear how they keep challenging me. Where's the word of the Lord? Let it come. But I have not run away from being your shepherd, and I have not longed for the fatal day. You know my words were spoken in your presence. Don't become a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let my persecutors be put to shame, but don't let me be put to shame. Let them be terrified, but don't let me be terrified. Bring on them the day of disaster. Shatter them with total destruction. Now here's this interesting thing, because I love what verse 5 begins. Verse 5 begins with this idea about it's in ourself we trust, right? Did you kind of catch that? He said, cursed is the person who trusts in mankind, who makes human flesh his strength. This verse is a direct assault on our culture today, isn't it? Oh my goodness, y'all. What is it that we actually trust in? I mean, I want you to think about that seriously. What do you put your trust in, right? We don't have a huge crowd here today. I mean, it's pretty good size. Let's hear you share some things. Like, how about a steady paycheck, right? All right, what do we trust in? Throw it out there. Trust in our government, okay? Did you say our jobs or our dogs? Our jobs, yes. We put a lot of trust in that. In our even our cars, if you think about it. We get in the car, we trust the seatbelt's going to work. Yeah, any of you ever have one of those cars? Every time you got it, you just prayed, "Okay, Lord, please help me to just survive this drive that I'm about to make." Right? We call that also riding with teenagers when they drive. So, oh, I went there. I'm sorry. What else do we trust in? GPS. We trust in family. Do what? The chair we're sitting in, yeah, probably not a single one of you, when you sat down there, went, okay, let's test this out and see if it's going to work, right? I did that with a ladder once that I regretted. I should not have trusted that ladder. But we trust those things. We do. The sunrise, the sunset. You know, what's funny is even on our money we have, in God we trust, but really it should probably say, in ourselves we trust, and in mankind we trust. There's an old essay written by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he wrote this in 1841, and it was called Self-Reliance. And you may ask why I'm quoting some quotes from Ralph Waldo Emerson from 1840s, but a lot of what he said has influenced the way we live today. Here's some of what he says in that essay. He talks about that they need to be completely self-reliant, don't care for the poor, just don't worry about loving your families. He sure wouldn't say, listen to your preacher. He wouldn't say that at all. He tells them, insist on yourselves, never imitate. He said, whoso would be a man must be a nonconformist. Nothing is at least sacred but the integrity of your own mind. Nothing can bring you peace but yourself. And all of these things that he wrote in the 1840s, they seem like so contemporary that as funny as it sounds, even some of those writings were used to sell tennis shoes in the 1990s, and you had this theme of never imitate, trust thyself, trust yourself, don't trust anybody else. And this is the picture that we have built our society around. But Jeremiah is saying just the opposite. He's saying don't trust in mankind, don't trust even in yourself, but to trust in yourself is to turn away from God. And anyone who is that guy, he's actually cursed, because self-reliance isn't going to bring you peace. It's actually going to bring you terror, as he got into in the end of that. He's like, help me not be terror. Help me not be terrorized, because help me put my trust in you. But you see, he's going to talk about three things here that make us happen when we're self-reliant. Loneliness, poverty, and death. The first one is actually there in verse 6. He's going to talk about loneliness. And here's what he says. He says, he will be like a juniper in the Arabah. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. Gosh, that makes me thirsty just thinking about it, y'all. You know, talking about the parched places, a salt land where no one lives. Oh, I remember when Alice and I, we lived for 12 years in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And I remember one of the first times we drove out there, we're in the middle of the Chihuahuan Desert, the northern end of that, and we're driving through these salt lakes. That's just these dried lake beds, and it's just the sparkly salt that you're driving through. It was amazing. It was fascinating. This is what I picture when I think of that here. And Jeremiah is imagining this juniper, this scrub that's in the middle of this salty land, which has this shallow root system. You know why oaks grow to be so big? So they have a deep root system, because they reach down far. They're supported by the wind when it blows against them, but they can reach down and they can get that water that's flowing into the ground. But a shrub has a pretty shallow root system. And this is the picture that we're saying here. He's saying that the man who trusts in himself, it's like this bush that's just a little shrubby bush that's kind of out by himself. And the truth is that it's in a land where no one lives, and he's saying, look, if you're just relying on yourself, you're building your life around you. And what happens when you build your life around you is loneliness is going to happen from all that, because you cannot put yourself first and refuse to be lonely. Because once you decide that you are what comes first and nothing else matters, once you decide that you're going to trust just in yourself before anyone else, you, without even realizing it, you are choosing to be lonely. You're going to be cut off from God, first of all, and you're going to find that you end up cut off from people, and you end up being like this little short juniper bush that's out in the desert. But he also goes on, and he says in verse 11 that those who trust in their own strength are going to become poor. And he uses this saying that they had going on in there in that day, and here's what he said. He said, "Who makes a fortune unjustly, it's like a partridge that hatches eggs it didn't lay. In the middle of his life, his riches will abandon him, so in the end, he will become a fool." Jeremiah he's quoting this familiar proverb about a partridge that lays eggs that it doesn't lay. And then what would happen is the birds would hatch. They would realize, hey, you're not my mom. And they would fly off and kind of do their own little thing here. And he's equating that. Notice he says that this is about your riches. The same thing happens to those who trust in all those things, right? Almost picture Jeremiah saying, sure, you have money now, but it's not going to last. Sure, you feel like you have security now, but there's no guarantee that that's going to continue. You might have a steady job, but what would it take for that job to be taken away? One bad day on your boss's part. One stroke. You could lose the ability to use your limbs or something like that. It's just, we put so much security in all of these things. And Jeremiah is reminding us, look, we can't trust in those things. The third curse, actually, that he says is actually death when you get down to verse 13. He says, Lord, the hope of Israel, all who abandon you will be put to shame, and all who turn away from me will be written in the dirt, for they have abandoned the Lord, the fountain of living water. It's this idea of leaving the oasis to go live out in the desert, right? If you were to take one of those trees that was in that little beautiful place we showed you and went and planted that in the desert, do you think it's going to survive? No, it's not. It would look like the things I planted in my yard, right? Because I don't give enough water, and then they die out. And where there's no water, there is no survival, and that's the picture that it's here. There's no spiritual life without the living water of God's grace. Did you kind of catch the theme of the worship set that Charlie led us in? Did you kind of catch that? It was about God's glory. It's about recognizing that there's something outside of us, that there's something greater. It's not about, look, I'm just going to go do my own thing and I'm just going to live my life and I'm just going to focus on that. Because what happens is it's lonely. There's no security in it. And it ultimately leads to a place you don't want to go. Because there's no depth to it. There's no water to sustain it. And it ends up being death. Jeremiah, actually, back in chapter 2, verse 13, he said, "For my people had committed a double evil. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that cannot hold water." You kind of catch this picture here? In Jeremiah 2, he goes, look, the people have abandoned God, who's the source of water. He is this living water. And instead, they've dug wells, and they're like, we can do this ourselves. But instead, that the wells that they have dug, they leak, and they can't hold water, and it's not sustainable in the long term. Yet, how many of us would live our lives that way? We tried out the God thing on Sunday. We come and we go, okay, God, I'm going to come. I'm going to open up my God folder now, and we're going to do the God thing. I'm going to close them, and I'm going to put it back in my filing cabinet and not ever touch it again. This is the idea that Jeremiah is giving to us. Look, we can't live that way. It's not sustainable. It's really, truly not. Instead, he's going to talk about being planted by God, being a tree that is planted on the shores by a stream. He's talking about being planted by God. And he knows that in order to have life, you've got to stop trusting in yourself. You've got to put your trust somewhere else. You've got to be planted by God. Look at verse 7 and 8. The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is the Lord. Notice it didn't say whose confidence is in the Lord. It says, whose confidence is the Lord. That's significant. Dwell on that for a minute. It says, the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is the Lord, is blessed. He'll be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes. Its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. I love that line that video we watched said. It says, whether you're 6 feet away or 6 miles away or a half a world away, the mandate hasn't changed. And it's true. And this is the picture that we're seeing here. It's not about anything that happens that takes you away from God. You're going, look, you just trust in God. And you're going to be like that tree that's planted by a stream. And notice, actually, it's verse 5 actually said that cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. Verse 7 actually says, the person who trusts in the Lord is blessed. Did you catch the word that they had in common there? Trust. The one who trusts in mankind is cursed, but the person who trusts in the Lord is blessed. That pivotal word is about trust. What do you trust in? Where's your heart? Where's your confidence? Do you rely on yourself, or do you just trust in the Lord all the time? And I want you to catch this picture that Jeremiah is saying, look, God will bless the person who trusts in him. You've got to trust on God the way a tree trusts on a river to give it life. If you've ever been in one of those places that, you know, you can kind of tell when there's a river, you know, when you're just taking a road trip, you're going down the highway, and then all of a sudden you just see this swath of trees that are much taller than all the others, and you go, ooh, I bet there's a river there, right? Anyone else ever have that experience? Do you know why that is? Because you have to have the water. You have to have that moisture that's there. Oh, sure, things can grow, but they can't get as tall, they can't get as great, they can't get as glorious without water. And here, God is saying, look, Jeremiah is telling us you need to be planted by God like a tree planted by the river. It's about where you're going to trust. Is a tree going to become parched when there's a heat wave when they're planted by the river? No. They're going to get all the water that they need from the river. And Jeremiah here, I want you to understand, he is speaking from personal experience. You ever just have those moments you're just kind of in a spiritual drought? You're just kind of feel dry? Jeremiah was one who had gone through that. Actually, just two chapters before, in chapter 15, verse 17, you actually see this. He says, I never sat with the band of revelers, and I did not celebrate with them. Because of your hand was on me, I sat alone, for you filled me with indignation. Now, I love this passage. I love this verse, because here's Jeremiah going, God, I am doing what you want me to do. I feel like you have called me to not be with them, to not celebrate with them, to not do the sinful things that they're doing. is effectively what he's saying. He's saying, God, I felt you call me to be different. I felt you call me to do something different. So I didn't live my life the same way that they did. And then look at where he goes in verse 18, because look at where this leads. He says, why has my pain become unending? My wound incurable, refusing to be healed. You truly have become like a mirage to me, water that is unreliable. Almost like there's this mirage. I see this thing. I'm out in the desert and it's dry and I see this tall trees and I see this oasis, but it's just a mirage. It's not really there. And here in Jeremiah chapter 15, he's going, God, that's the way you seem to me. I was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to do the things that you had called me to do, but I just feel dry. I just feel burned out. And it seems like you're just like a mirage here. But by chapter 17, Jeremiah is able to answer his own questions. God isn't this oasis. He's not this mirage, that this water that's unreliable. Instead, he now understands that God is a stream of living water, a tree planted by its banks. As he says in verse 8, it doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage will remain green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. I want you to understand that by the time you get to chapter 17, this is Jeremiah's personal testimony of the faithfulness of God when things don't seem to be going the way you want it to go. In a year of drought, in the year 2020, y'all. Oh, man. So Jeremiah here, I want you to understand that he actually practices what he preaches at the end of this passage that we see here in chapter 17. He testifies that there's of what life is like for the man who trusts the Lord and doesn't fear when the heat comes, when things get tough, when everything just seems to be falling apart around you. He gives these perfect examples of what it means to trust in God, what it means to be planted by the river, planted by the stream. And suddenly, I love the fact that you see Jeremiah and he's suddenly on the hot seat. In chapter 17 here, near the end of that, verse 15, notice he says, hear how they keep challenging me. Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come. People either wanted Jeremiah to put up or shut up. It's effectively what's going on. They're going, all right, you keep saying God's going to do all this. Where is it? What's going on here? And now all of a sudden he keeps preaching about all the curses that God's going to come. And he talks about, you know, like if you're not attached to God like you're supposed to be, you're going to be lonely and it leads to death and it's not satisfying and it doesn't give you the security. And he's saying all this and they're all going, where's the proof? Let's see it. Let's see where it's at here. They wanted all that. And he's feeling the heat and he's feeling all these people challenging him, but yet he keeps his cool. Because he's like this tree that's planted by the water. And look at what he says in verse 16. He says, but I have not run away from being your shepherd. And I have not longed for the fatal day. Notice here for a minute, he says, you know, my words were spoken in your presence. Jeremiah didn't desert what God wanted him to do. And he stayed right there, even in the midst of all that challenge, even in the midst when everything seemed to be going a little bit hard. As he goes, look, I understand that it's not about everything going my way. I understand that it's not about that, but it's about me being faithful to what you have called me to do. It's about me putting my trust in you instead of all the things of this world. I'm going to trust in you. This prayer is actually kind of a similar to a praise that he had already prayed, but let me back up here. I want to say that he found his refuge and his sanctuary in God, and he put his confidence in the Lord, and he put his trust in the Lord. And notice where verse 17, let's put this up here. He says, don't be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. You are my refuge in the day of disaster, the place that I go to be safe. It's similar to verse 12. You can see that there. But Jeremiah is finding his refuge in God. And he's blessed simply because he puts his confidence in God. And finally, he asks the Lord to bless him and curse his enemies, just as God promised he would do. And this whole little passage ends on a really personal note in verse 18. Notice what he says. He says, let my persecutors be put to shame, but don't let me be put to shame. Let them be terrified, but don't let me be terrified. Bring on them the day of disaster. Shatter them with total destruction. And here, Jeremiah's example is this reminder to stay close to God during those dry seasons, during those times where you go, God, it's just not supposed to be this way. During those times where you go, God, I don't know what to do. And here's God saying, just trust, just keep going. And when you do that, you're like this tree that's planted by the stream. Christians that have lost their joy, Christians that are going through hard times, what do we tend to do? Do we tend to trust God more, or do we tend to kind of withdraw and pull back to ourselves, right? I tend to be the one who pulls back, and odds are we are all the same way, aren't we? They decide they're not going to pray. Prayer life is probably the first thing to go. Well, actually, the first thing to go is probably Bible reading. You stop reading your Bible, then prayer becomes a chore, and then before long you're not even praying. Before long, you're not coming and you're not worshiping together. You're not attending church. You're not doing any kind of spiritual things in your life. Any desire to serve God just kind of drifts away here. And it's like leaving the spring of water to go live out in the desert. There's a transition. I mean, it takes time. But the longer that that goes, the dirtier and the more dry you become on the inside here. This is why it's important to not leave the water's edge, to keep trusting in God, to keep reading your Bible, to keep praying, to keep coming and worshiping, to keep focusing on God's glory. Realize that there is a God out there, and he loves you so much, and he wants to be involved in your life. The tree that's planted by the water just doesn't sit there either. This is significant. In verse 8, it says that it spreads its roots towards the stream. Did you kind of catch that in verse 8 here? The job that the tree does is it spreads its roots towards the stream. It reaches out towards the water. What have you done to reach out to God this week? What will you do to reach out to God this coming week? Reach, stretch out, reach for the water. The tree is alive and it's stretching and it's straining towards the water that it needs to live, just like we need to do. We need to strain towards that glory of God. We need to strain and reach as far as we can to that grace that's available through God's word, through prayer, through doing life together, through all of the incredible things that God has given us. And yet, when the heat comes, if we've done that, we can handle it. We can handle it. We can trust in God. The tree that's living by the water's edge, it's all about being close to Jesus. I love this in John chapter 7. Verse 37 and 38. Actually, it says this. It says, y'all, I need both hands. You know how awkward it is holding this thing? I need both hands. Here we go. Verse 37 and 38. Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." This is the picture. To be close, to live like this tree that's planted on the stream is to be close to Jesus, because he is the water of life. And he will give you water even in a dry and thirsty 2020. He's there for the cleansing of sin. He's there to be there throughout your day. He's there to give you encouragement this week. He's also there to chastise you if you need that this week too. He will be there every step of the way. And I love what Jesus says there in John 7, 37. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and drink." Notice it's not some big, impossible challenge. He goes, just be this tree that stretches out towards me, and let's see what you find. We're going to finish this sermon next week. You know, we're only halfway through it, but we're going to finish this next week because it's such an incredible picture of what it looks like to be a tree that's planted by the river's edge. A tree that has everything it needs to survive, which is what you and I have in Jesus. It's just time for us to trust him. It's time for us, as we go through this week, not to put our trust in our jobs or in our families or in our security, in the houses that we have or the cars. All of that could go away just like that. But it's time for us to put our trust and faith in the Lord who's right there in the midst of everything. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this incredible life that you have called us to. Thank you that you refresh us. Thank you that you water us. Thank you that you give us everything we need for life. You give us peace. You give us joy. You give us so many incredible things that just surpass understanding of anyone else. That's why Christians grieve differently than the rest. They don't grieve like those who have no hope. That's why our joy looks different. That's why our hope looks different. And that's why our trust looks different as well. We pray that you will shine through us this week, that we will be these walking ambassadors of you, that people will see, hey, look, there's something different about them. Lord, we just pray that you will water us, refresh us, and be with us as we go through this week. For your name we pray. Amen.